Now, the whole 10 yards. Gators, Seminoles, Hurricanes, and a recap of the biggest games in college football. Brought to you by Sears of Jacksonville. With your hosts, Clayton, Adrian, Matt, and Wally.
The whole 10 yards, Tenson XL, 92.5 FM. Clayton Tinkle, your host, Wally Oligan.
My headphones are tangled.
You and your headphones every week. Matt Ziegler.
I don't have the AV jack.
You guys are
to hear
slacking.
Anything.
The man, the myth, and the legend, Richard Miller.
Present.
Okay, thank you.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Life
awesome.
Is good.
Awesome. Glad to have you on the show. Joshua Jackson is going to be joining us here in a few. He probably got stuck at that pesky light up there.
It's pesky.
Hogan
it's a
Southside.
Pesky little thing. Thanks for inviting me in today. I'm excited. College football and a lot more.
Oh, of course.
Final show of the season, right?
Right.
Wow.
At least until next college football season. I mean, we don't want to bore everybody with recruiting and everything like that. I mean, not that it's boring, but.
It's not.
Right.
Unless you want to pay us to do it.
Well.
I'm just being real. I'm just being honest.
Man. Fair enough, I guess.
Thank you so
and
much.
Rakeith is in the booth, representing.
I'm right. Just blown away by this Sunday. CeCe saying goodbye to us. Rakeith giving me this. This is just a good sign of things to come.
Sure, hope so.
I'm excited.
I got to work today, so.
Well, this chair isn't very comfortable. If I got to complain about something.
We got national championship game wrap up lined up. We're gonna do some draft talk. We're gonna look forward to next season. Talk some of the best moments of this previous season, coaching carousel, which is always fun. Lane Kiffin included. Laugh. Go ahead.
He got a job, y'all.
That's true. Let's start off with Florida State, though. Bringing the
what about them?
The crystal ball back to Florida.
Oh, it's a week. It seems so far away.
Right.
I forgot.
Now I have a question, Wally. As a Gator fan, are you happy that Florida State won to bring it back to Florida? Or are you upset?
I don't care
because the SEC lost.
You see any sort of like disappointment on my face right now? I don't really care. Congrats to Florida State.
Jags fan. I got thick skin. Bring it all.
I don't have to hear conference pride crap anymore. So I'm excited about that.
Which is the dumbest thing.
Which is so stupid to begin with.
Right.
But you know, hey, Florida State, congratulations.
Richard, is Florida State looked at as the overall easily uncontested number one?
I think
team.
So. Yeah. Absolutely. Even though I talked to a former pro player, they played in the ACC, and he said, I asked him and said, why was Florida State so good in this game? Why did they stick around? And towards the end, I'd say the last 3-4 minutes, you just kind of knew that Florida State was going to win when they got that ball back. And he said it was Timmy Jernigan. Even though Jernigan was on the sidelines, so much of that defense is Jernigan. And the former player said he's going to make lots of money. You can't fault him, but so much of what that defense does starts with Jernigan in the middle and just eating up so much.
Yeah, you could tell in the second half that Auburn had a tough time offensively. I mean, obviously they scored the 21 points in the first half, but just 10 in the second half. That one Trey Mason run mm-hmm. was really all they did. They didn't move the ball consistently as they did in the first half. And people questioned Florida State and not being able to handle a fourth quarter game because they had never been there and everything like that. And it turns out they were the ones that actually handled it more better. I almost said more better. Terrible.
better.
screw it. Why not? They handled it more better than Auburn. And that kind of surprised me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I thought the second half they came out trying not to lose.
Right.
And it was almost a disservice to Auburn to take that big of a lead. You always see that with teams that come into games, high-pressure games. They take an early lead like the Chiefs and the Colts. Last week, they were up more than 30. They were 31-10. 38-10, but they scored in the third quarter, 31-10 going into the half.
Mm-hmm.
31-10, it's a playoff game, though. So you're thinking, okay, there's no way we could lose this. We're just going to run the ball. Just going to run the ball, run out the clock. But there's still two quarters left to play. And if you start making your game plan conservative and not continuing to do the things that made you successful in the first half, I mean, it's a recipe for disaster.
And a disaster it was for the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah.
Wally, anything?
I wouldn't say it was a disaster for the Auburn Tigers because they were up 21-3.
I mean, it's heartbreaking.
That's a better statement.
Winston owned that Heisman. He earned
yeah,
it, man.
He
earned it.
In the second half, at least.
And just a year after going winless
right.
in the SEC, you're in the national championship game.
Right.
I mean, Chad Scott, the number of times talking to him and his excitement that they got that far after a year where they just fell flat on their face and had to fire their head coach.
Yeah, if you would have told me that Auburn was in the SEC championship, let alone the BCS national championship at the beginning of the season, I would have thought it was as crazy as my TCU prediction. It was just, honestly, I thought there was no way
yeah.
it was going to happen. But I think Florida State looked like they were going to win the game after that Levante Whitfield kickoff return for a touchdown. At that point, you could tell
that was big.
Florida State's going to pull this out, you know.
But then when Auburn punched him back with a touchdown, I was like, okay, well, that's how you do it.
But then James Winston, like you said, again. Earned that Heisman.
Was pass interference, though. We can all agree?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Was pass interference. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Definition of.
I didn't really hear or see any argument to it. Oh,
there was some complainers.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if it's more so this year, but I noticed in a number of bowl games after Christmas all the way up to New Year's Day that a number of these cornerbacks and some safeties, if they move up into coverage, that they'll hide that back hand and they'll turn them a little bit, spin them. I know we've seen it before, but I thought it was more so in those 5-10 games after Christmas Day.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're being coached to do that. I hope not. But actually, I did see a lot
of
it,
too. I'm sure
they are. You think so?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
It worked.
Yeah.
That's
Why
true.
Not?
And a guy like Kelvin Benjamin, I mean, right. Tough to guard just to begin with.
Right.
I mean, how do you...
The irony of Chris Davis Jr. being the one that got, the pass interference call.
Yeah.
And then two, the touchdown on him by Benjamin, which again, there's not much he can do in that situation. But it was just weird how it came to.
But he had a good game,
right? No, yeah, he did.
He had a good game. It's just
actually
at the end.
Chris Davis.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually going to say that's one of the worst national championship games from one single player I've ever seen.
Really?
He dropped two punts. I'm sorry, dropped two punts. Almost lost both of them.
But they didn't lose them.
But I'm just saying,
he just didn't
live up to the hype that he received.
I was just talking about defensively.
Right.
Defensively, he did a good job.
Aside from that last drive.
I mean, they put him on Benjamin, they put him on Green. Green had a few drops, and the way that he rebounded, I was very, very impressed.
The whole FSU receiving corps had a few big drops in the first half.
They were nervous.
Was it the third and four or five early in the second quarter when Florida State looked like they were getting something going? And I think it was Green who dropped it. It was just...
And it was an easy ball, man, right in his hands.
It was tough to watch, honestly. But I'm glad Florida State pulled it out for the state of Florida, if you will. Good game. We wanted an entertaining game, and I think we got that.
Mm-hmm. And Jacksonville dominating the market.
Yeah, I noticed
that. Yeah.
Which is great.
Top 10.
Birmingham, of course, in that mix as well. They love football. And
actually,
Alabama
top five
football.
For Jacksonville. Yeah.
Awesome. That's good to hear. Maybe we'll get a... college playoff game.
We will. Yeah, Jacksonville will get one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Tampa got the first one, right?
Jacksonville will get the national championship game. Just logistically, it's a little bit easier, but it'll be national championship. Probably 2020.
God, I would love that.
It'll happen.
I'm there. I'm already there.
Just the hotels need to figure that out a little more downtown. That's the only issue, and that's why Jacksonville would not have a semifinal game.
Right. I've got an extra room if anybody needs it.
6 years, though? So far.
Is it? 6 years ago, I mean, 6 years ago, I was at UNF having a good time. Seems like yesterday.
Glory days.
Early, very, JJ. Very early favorites for next year.
Florida State.
Okay.
Is there anyone else?
I like Oregon.
With Mariota?
Mariota's coming back.
Yeah.
That's cool. DeAnthony Thomas is leaving. They've got other weapons. Josh Huff.
They can find speed versus speed backs.
Yeah. They've got speed everywhere. Matt?
No, you can't argue with FSU being number one.
Nobody else? You don't have anything else?
It would only be Bama.
And can you really say Bama, though?
No, you can't.
No.
I mean, if we're just looking at talent coming into next season, I mean, Bama's got to be one or two.
Breaking news, Rakeith. Breaking news.
We caught him off guard. Man, he's scrambling.
Yeah, come on.
And we're waiting still. Joshua Jackson's here.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It feels good to be a champion.
I knew that was
this
coming.
Week.
Oh,
absolutely.
Boy.
Florida State national champions. Beautiful week this week. Coffee tasted better. Bagels tasted so much better this week. Absolutely fun week.
Josh didn't even put any sugar in his coffee this week. He just drank it black. Man, this is great.
This is a natural excitement.
He gets to celebrate it for at least a year. And again, Florida State, the favorites going into next year. A team that could challenge Florida State next year. Who is it?
To be honest with you, I think a dark horse next year, you got to look at Notre Dame. Notre Dame was there last year. Everett Golson's back. Brian Kelly's that offense is still going to be that offense. So that could be a monkey wrench in things. But I definitely think Florida State has got to be the odds-on favorite to take it again next year. But keep an eye out on Notre Dame next year as well.
Josh, I was talking to our friend James Coleman, and Notre Dame came up because we were talking about Florida State, who can continue next year. And he said, I'd still take Florida State because you've got a Brian Kelly coach team. And we just laugh for a while. But, yeah, Notre Dame's definitely up there.
Well, exactly. Brian Kelly, he does have his problems, I mean. But still, you know, Florida State, regardless of the guys that they're losing, some of the key pieces are still going to be there. Jameis Winston's still there. That offensive line is still going to be intact. Carlos Williams, I don't think, has made a decision yet. He's more than likely going to stay next year. Yes, you lose two backs, but everything that you've got still there and the recruiting that's been going on right now at Florida State, you can't go wrong with thinking Florida State might make it back-to-back next year.
And you mentioned that Jameis Winston's back.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's pretty much it.
Right. Yeah. Let's be real. Wally, you don't have any other team that could maybe challenge Florida State? Maybe not necessarily in the conference, but nationally?
Nationally, I've got two or three teams. I think Michigan State could probably give them a run for their money. Their defense is very stout, and most of them are returning, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Most of that.
Dennard's gone.
Yeah. I already mentioned Oregon and maybe even UCLA.
Brett Hundley.
Wait, so does no one think Bama? Or is it just that Bama's so obvious that we're not even mentioning it?
No, see, I don't think they're that obvious.
Really?
No. You're getting Lane Kiffin, which is cool, whatever.
It's not because of the Lane Kiffin hire,
though. But you're losing McCarron, which is huge.
But, I mean, they just go back to running the ball, and then if you have a young quarterback, you have Pringles still.
Right.
You know, running the deep ball, Amari Cooper. And, I mean, I had read they got, like, one of the top tight ends in the country in the recruiting class, I believe.
We knock AJ McCarron for being a quote unquote game manager all the time. You don't have that next year that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to be able to not turn the ball over and stuff like that? That's what worries me. We just don't know what their offense is going to look like with the quarterback.
I think them and LSU will be back, right back. Even though they're both losing their quarterbacks,
I think so too.
I disagree.
They're right there.
Wally, why do you disagree?
You have to look at the quarterback situation. The quarterback situation is always the most.
So who's the favorite in the SEC West then?
Probably Auburn.
Arkansas. Razorbacks.
I look at the quarterback situation for Bama, and they're going to be able to they're obviously going to be able to recruit pretty much anybody who wants to go there. They're going to be able to recruit them. It's just can he step in and immediately play and produce the same results? And I just don't think you can do that. Yes, they have a strong running attack, and of course their defense is always top notch. But I just can't see that happening coming in next year.
The SEC East next year is really going to be fun to look at because you've got Hudson Mason at Georgia. You wonder what that offense is going to look at. You know Mark Richt is going to be on the hot seat next year. Jeff Driscoll comes back for Florida. They make some changes offensively, which much needed changes offensively. South Carolina, yeah, you don't have Connor Shaw, but Dylan Thompson played a lot of football this year, and you still got Mike Davis. That's going to be a dangerous football team. And Missouri, with the experience that Matty Mock got this year at quarterback, they still got that great defense. That East next year is going to be fun, even with just with those four teams I just mentioned.
And I love South Carolina. A year in and year out, the players Steve Spurrier can get, the Clowneys and the Davis. Gosh, I just love seeing that. And then what they do at the next level, too, I think that's a lot of the Steve Spurrier imprint. But I like Josh's call that South Carolina is going to be good because that bowl game was fun to watch.
It was. I like the Missouri call as well. I think Missouri is going to be maybe not the team to beat, but the team to look out for, I think, because they have essentially a target on their back now, the Floridas and the Georgias. They know that Missouri is that good, and they have to game plan a little bit more. But South Carolina and Missouri are going to be fun to watch.
We had mentioned Alabama. Are we not surprised that nobody's mentioned Ohio State
at all? I will never. Ever.
That's just personal preference.
I'm just poking.
Braxton Miller's staying, too.
Yeah. No, yeah, Ohio State is – they're going to have a chance to run the table again next year. I think their schedule actually next year is a little bit easier than this year's, if I do remember correctly, which is scary to think. Miller getting another year of experience. So as long as he stays healthy, because Kenny Guyton's not behind him, Ohio State's going to be in the mix at the end, too.
We'd mentioned Alabama, the Sugar Bowl win, but why not Oklahoma after that performance? Absolutely smacking around the Crimson Tide. Do we not put them at least in the top 10?
It's because Oklahoma is Oklahoma. You cannot completely buy into them. Every year, it's like Oklahoma is back, and then three games in, they lose to a team
they shouldn't
lose.
I watched that game that Matt Flynn for the Packers threw those 6-7 touchdowns in that game. Like, I watched that. So I just feel one performance, and granted it was a big one for Oklahoma as a whole, but their quarterback situation, Blake Bell obviously now taking a back seat to, what's his name, Jordan something? Mm-hmm. The quarterback for Oklahoma?
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
Trevor Knight.
Jordan something.
You were thinking Jordan Knight.
He had like a Michael Jordan-esque performance. That's what I was doing.
And we were thinking Jameis Winston, that kind of thing.
Just that one good performance against that Alabama defense, everyone thinks, okay, so now he's coming in next season. Preseason, Heisman hopeful, leading a possible national championship team, and then they lose to, Texas again or something, yeah.
Iowa State. Somebody weird. It's always a weird team in the Big 12.
But I don't use the excuse, because I picked Alabama for that game as well as I'm sure a lot of people did. I don't use the excuse that Bama wasn't up for that game. You know, when Bama got blown out by Utah in the Sugar Bowl, I think 4 years ago or something like that, that was the excuse. And you felt it with the players.
What about Baylor in the Big 12?
They do have Bryce Petty coming
back. Petty's coming back. The running back's not coming back. But that offense is always tough to stop.
And Art Briles stayed.
Right. So the Big 12 is going to be fun this year, I think, with Charlie Strong. Just don't lose to BYU this year.
We needed something. No. Hey, they're deceptively fast. They are deceptively fast.
I remember the guy's name because we made fun of you forever for it. Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill, yeah. And then we hired Greg Robinson because of it. So how about that?
LOL.
Oops.
Switching gears. The snatching defeat from the jaws of victory last Monday was Auburn, and Auburn's number one fan, War Eagle Wayne, is on the line. Wayne, how are you?
War Eagle!
Be
War
nice, Eagle. Josh.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you?
I'm not doing good. What do you think?
Hey, you made it. I mean, there's 120, 118, 19 other teams that didn't.
Well, that's true.
Make a bowl game.
You're right.
Yeah.
Not that I like to, but I have to congratulate the FSU fans and their football team, their players. They deserve to be number one because they beat the best team in the country.
They are the best team in the country. They didn't beat themselves.
Whatever.
How's Auburn look next year? Real quick.
They've got to be in the top five at least, I would think. Trey Mason, oh, dadgummit, he's going pro.
You guys will replace him.
No doubt. Easily. Even if I have to go up there.
Oh, God.
Oh, well.
But hopefully we'll get it done and we'll be in the mix.
I'd wear it. Yeah, no, we're excited about Auburn next year and the whole SEC West. Anything post-championship game to talk about real quick?
The dark horse for next year, nobody's looking at, to give a run. Michigan.
He called it. I love it. Maybe. I don't know. I don't want to get... Our defense is still
so... You got so excited.
Our defense is so slow.
You got excited immediately. We're like, I don't want to jinx it.
Their defense is so slow.
He picked them. I mean, no, it's whatever.
If the Wayne seal of approval is on it...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You never know.
He's got the magic touch.
I'm not going to pick him, though, because Devin Gardner could be out for the year.
With turf toe.
With turf toe. Right.
We'll just wait to the star next season and hear my predictions then.
Man, I hope so. All right, Wayne, have a great Sunday, and we appreciate your support all season, all right?
I thank y'all.
Anytime.
All right, bye.
And Wayne is gone for the season.
And I'd say top five, Auburn top five. I mean, everything I'm looking at, it's a Florida State, Oregon, Alabama, Ohio State, Auburn, maybe a couple other two.
Michigan State, I think, should be up there.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk about Michigan State's offense at the beginning of the season not being good. And then all of a sudden something clicked, and they could not score at will, but they could score 25-30, which with that defense is plenty.
Well, we talked about quarterbacks, maybe a team like Stanford.
Yeah.
For all the talk about David Shaw and how good a head coach he is, why not Stanford top five?
No, yeah, I agree. I'm always a big Stanford fan just because they play the smart type of football. Not a joke, but they don't turn the ball.
That highbrow football.
Yes. Yeah. They don't turn the ball over that
tea
much.
Tea and crumpets.
Right.
Yes.
Always make the play, that kind of thing. So I'm always a big Stanford fan. Anything, guys? Any more? Dark horses.
I don't like Stanford.
No TCUs.
But they're good. I got it.
We know you're Stanford hater.
Yeah,
well documented.
I'm not a fan of Stanford. I think they're better than me.
What's the Stanford? Oh, that's right. They rejected your admissions.
That's putting it lightly.
Is it because you like pluralized team names? Is that what it is? Cardinal just irritates you.
It bothers me. And then it's like you go to the Cardinal, but then what's the tree still doing there? Is the Cardinal in the tree? Like, open up the branches. Let me see where that thing's hiding. Uh-huh. Is there a nest? Are there eggs? So many questions, and they don't answer them, and that's why I don't like it.
We'll answer them next. How about that?
All right, that works.
Favorite moments of the 2013 college football season come up next on the Whole 10 Yards, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
The Whole 10 Yards, brought to you by Sears of Jacksonville on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
The Whole 10 Yards, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Your host, Clayton Tinkle, back with Wally Olligan.
Go Sun Devils.
Matt Ziegler.
Yeah, Sun Devils.
And the two guestos, Joshua Jackson.
That would be me.
And Richard Miller.
Howdy, howdy. Go Giants.
Giants, Sun Devils, and howdy, howdy.
New York Giants?
I don't know how that caught you off guard.
Jacksonville Giants.
Yeah, getting the win last night, 16-0.
Well, what was the score? 831-12?
Close, 142-100.
Okay. No, yeah.
Is it like Quidditch, where if you catch the golden snitch at the end, you automatically win?
It is. Running around, it's tough to find in the rafters, though. You know,
the golden snitch being the 130 mark.
Yes.
Yeah, you pass 130, you're good.
Once you get that, it's done.
Right. At least it should be. No, Giants are fun to watch. They had a game yesterday at UNF.
Arena. Veterans. Downtown.
Oh, okay,
Friday.
Okay, okay.
Friday's game was
Friday
at UNF.
Friday's game was at UNF.
And yesterday, the Veterans Memorial Arena, UNF, JU women's basketball, then JU Florida Gulf Coast. They got the win. JU mm-hmm. did. And then the Giants. So it was a busy day at the VMA.
Yeah. Anytime there's three basketball games on one day in one place, you can't be upset.
No, you can't.
Happy day.
Except you were angry at ESPNU, weren't you, for showing the game?
Yeah, well, for showing this blowout of a game that they have on. Don't turn on ESPNU if you want to be entertained this Sunday morning.
Oh, that's kind of our parent station. We're just, no, please turn to every ESPN affiliate if you can. Children.
Matt.
Please.
All of them.
Don't be a suck-up.
And ABC.
That's the same.
And if you want to watch some Disney movies, that's fine, too, you know.
Heck, if you have stock in Marvel, you might want to check that out, too.
Yeah, might want to check that
out. Go see Saving Mr. Banks in theaters now.
Tom Hanks, riveting.
Oh, wow. Don't forget your popcorn and Coke.
Although there's not enough Tom Hanks in that movie. Just my personal opinion.
I haven't seen it yet. Is it good?
Yeah, it's worth seeing. Yeah,
I don't know if I plugged this yet. Lone Survivor, Mark Wahlberg. Fantastic. You guys got to go see that.
That's the one where they went and got like real experience with the veterans from that area, because it's a true story, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The title of that movie kind of ruins it for you, though.
It's so good, though.
I'm looking forward to seeing, and I'm just like,
great.
I'm like, Lone Survivor, four guys take off.
It's that movie that as soon as it comes out on DVD, I'm buying. It's that good.
Oh, it's that kind of purchase.
Yeah.
All right.
So, moving on, though, back to college football, because this is the Whole 10 Yards. Jacksonville's home for said college football. We're going to recap our best moments of the 2013 season, well, our best and the season's best favorites. We'll start with Matt. What is your favorite moment of the 2013 season?
It would be between the kick six, only because that was the craziest ending to a game that I had ever seen.
Right.
I mean, that was on par with the helmet catch for me.
Mm-hmm.
It would be between that and, I don't know, the game, I think it was FSU versus BC, where Jameis Winston, right before the end of the half, threw that bomb from midfield as he was getting dragged down.
Yep.
And I think it was Kenny Shaw who caught it. That was one of the sickest plays I'd ever seen, too.
That was a pretty good play. I was actually watching that one live. So I mean, not there. But.
And both those plays emotionally touched me as well.
Okay. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
That was heartfelt.
Well, trying to do it for the kids.
Wally?
I have two favorites. First favorite.
Are these emotional favorites?
I would say emotional favorites. Yeah, okay. Sure. We'll go with emotional favorites. The first one is the kick six, but it's not for necessarily the play. It was for all the Alabama struggle faces you saw in the crowd.
The guy with his hands
struggle is real, baby.
Like this with the hat on. That's my favorite.
It was all the Alabama struggle faces that you saw. And then the second one. Was the Michigan-Akron game earlier in the season.
Oh, my God, that was on my
and
list.
And the only reason that plays a role is because Clayton, I believe, couldn't even watch the game,
and we were
live-tweeting him updates and stuff, and having it come down to that last play.
That was easily the scariest moment of my college football life. Because the Appalachian State game that Michigan lost, I was watching it, and you've seen it, or I seen it, so it was like... I mean, it sucks, but okay. This Akron game, I'm on my way home from refereeing some youth football, and I look at the Game Center sportscast on ESPN's app, and it wasn't updating. It was just stagnant for like 5 minutes. And we're down. I think we were down three, and then we scored, and they scored. So then we're up like three again at the end. Akron's got the ball, and all that it says on my Gamecast is fourth and goal for like 6-7 minutes, and it wouldn't update. And so right as it updated, I get a text from Wally that said, "Oh my God, what a game." And that can mean two things. That can mean Akron scored and Brady Hoke doesn't make it out of the stadium. Or that can mean that we stopped him on fourth down. So it takes like another 30 seconds and GameCast updates and says we won. I get out of my car and I swear I screamed at the top of my lungs. I went crazy over Akron. So it was terrible, but it was exciting.
So was that your emotional number one, or that's top three?
That's top three because it was scary, not necessarily good. I think my emotional number one would be going homer again. Michigan and Notre Dame, Jeremy Gallen, second quarter, caught a pass, broke like three tackles and ran it in. We went up like 21 in the second quarter. It was great. To beat Notre Dame is always great.
I remember that.
But yeah, that was good. And if I had to go national, man, I don't know. It's tough. I thought Hudson Mason's comeback against Georgia Tech in overtime was pretty good. Low-key, not big national, but freshman guy comes in. Not freshman, but backup comes in. Looks pretty good against his arch rival. That was pretty fun to watch.
We talk so much about quarterbacks. I'll go number one emotional for me, watching the bowl game, Duke-Texas A&M. Yeah, I try and stay away from the quarterbacks because it's so easy to fall in love with them late in the season, bowl season, and say, gosh, they've got everything, especially with the Jaguars and their situation, and you want to find that franchise guy. But in watching Johnny Manziel in that run, and there were so many throws, first half, I mean, he was throwing lasers, darts, that Mike Evans touchdown early on that was called off, that should have been a TD, that was pass interference, but Manziel and the excitement he brings, I mean, that has been one of the first in a long time where I've fallen in love with the quarterback, like, that night.
Right.
And I tried not to. I woke up the next morning and said, no, but emotionally, that was my connection. I thought y'all would like that.
Richard Miller and Johnny Manziel, one night stand.
No.
It meant something. I know it did.
It meant, it was a,
I hope he calls.
It was a fling. No, but that was my emotional number one.
Did he take you to dinner at least?
No, I've moved on since then. Yes. But dinner was delicious.
Well, is Blake Bortles a rebound for you?
No, not even close.
Okay.
Not a chance.
This is a Heisman winner we're talking about.
Hey, Blake last Bortles, show of the season. You got to go out strong. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Oh, Lord. Josh.
Easily Monday was the biggest moment for me, and I proved, and again, I may have to pay a fine to the city of Orange Park for disturbing the peace.
Uh-oh.
For yelling and screaming, even though it was 2 degrees outside on Monday.
Does Orange Park really have peace, though?
Actually, yes, it does.
It has its moments.
Back off of Blanding,
yes,
a couple blocks.
Exactly. And I also proved that at 5'7" and 270 pounds and 30 years old, I still have ups. I don't think I've jumped that high in very, very long.
You can join the 10 Yards Crew basketball
team.
Yes,
so I proved I still can get up in the air. I think moment number two for me probably would be anytime you go into Gainesville, I don't care how bad the Gators are,
right,
and you beat them in their own backyard and you see the long faces and you see, you know, just them just writhing in all kinds of misery is a beautiful thing. Sorry, Jacksonville Gator fans, but if you know me, you know I'm a humongous Seminole fan, so there's one to you. I think number three for me probably, and I think it's an underrated number three, as bad as Nebraska played in that game against Northwestern, the Hail Mary toward the end,
oh, yeah,
that was a huge one. Clark Kellogg III finds Westerkamp for the touchdown. They beat Northwestern 27-24. I think that's an underrated one, and I think that's definitely a big moment of the year for me.
How bad does the nation feel for Northwestern every single year?
I don't think the nation
so many feels, heartbreaks.
I don't think the nation feels bad for Northwestern.
Because Northwestern's been so bad for so long. I think they've been bad for at least 28 of my 30 years I've been on this planet. So I think for them to begin to start to turn things around with Pat Fitzgerald and begin to play recognizable football this year, you know, is definitely big for that program. And I think that's going to be a program to watch out for in the Big Ten.
I love Pat Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah.
Love him.
All those naps they take, and they're taking all the journalism jobs. So they've got both those working out for them. Yeah.
Thanks, Mike Greenberg.
Thanks, Wildcats. Appreciate it.
Rachel Nichols.
I love you some Rachel Nichols, though.
We have Doc on the line. Doc, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm enjoying the show. I really want to change the subject briefly about the Jaguars. It's like something I don't think anybody really touched on yet, because the Jaguars, they seem like they never look at the college season. They pick their players from the draft based on the compound, because every time they pick somebody, Jacksonville's like, who the hell is that? What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, last year we knew who every single player was, Right.
But it's 1 year out of the last.
Well, it's a new GM. It's a new GM regime.
Don't hold the past sins on the current staff.
Well, we're holding our fingers crossed. But man, I tell you, it's just a love hate. You know, every time you fall in love with them, they let you down. You know, it's hard to fall in love with them. They have no tradition. They don't have nothing at the game. You just get mad and you go to the game. The last few games, they pulled a little bit out. But man. We had a sorry season.
I didn't get mad. I went to four or five games this year, and I was pretty happy.
I'm a Jag season ticket holder. I've been a Jag season ticket holder for 2 years and a fan since 99, and I can legitimately say, even though we went 2-14 last year and 4-12 this year, I've thoroughly enjoyed our season, enjoyed the experience and stuff.
That's what I'm saying. We're excited about a sorry season. Think about it now.
I'm not excited about necessarily the results on the field, but you can't sit there and say it's okay. Like there's nothing to get excited about.
But going into the season, did you actually think that this football team was going to be a wild card contender or a playoff contender? For them to start 0-8 for the year, go on the bye, come back and win four games out of the last eight, you know, definitely something you can really hang your hat on and feel pretty good about going into the offseason when they've got to coach the Senior Bowl. That's going to be a big coup for them. They've got 10 picks in this draft. They've got a ton of cash in free agency, so things are going to look up for this football team.
And a ton of youth.
That's good, but it seems like every year we're saying we're rebuilding. Okay, next year what's going to be our excuse? We're rebuilding. I mean,
do you know what a rebuild actually consists of, though? Let's look at what Mike Mularkey and his staff told us last year. We're a few plays close. We're close. When in reality, we were not close of anything. You know, he bold-faced lied to us, told us that we were close.
Good.
You know, things were going to happen. We're taking the necessary steps. That was a lie. This team, the new regime that's in here now, currently said, hey, listen, this is a true rebuild. This is not something that's going to take. This is not something that's going to be like, oh, 1 or 2 years and we're going to be right in the playoff. No, they said you got to be patient. This is going to take some time, but we're building this thing for the long term. And this is what a true rebuild starts. It starts in the draft. It starts with low key free agent acquisitions, and then you play out the season. Then you see what you have. You get some more free agents. You draft again and you see what you have. And then the process continues over and over. Then next thing you know, when we're at 7, 8, 9 wins, then you're competitive. We're not saying it's a rebuild. Now it's what pieces do we need to put in place to push us over the top? Right now we're at the bottom level of it.
And good. And what you're saying is actually on point. But see, when I hear you guys talking about Johnny Manziel, Manziel is a great player. But he showed that he couldn't do anything without a great line, and that's the same situation we're in. We put him here in Jacksonville; he's going to look like a loser.
What is it exactly that you're suggesting? Are you suggesting that we should spend all of our picks to build an offensive line so that whatever quarterback that we finally decide to put behind that line will have 8 seconds to throw? Because the reality of life is that's not going to happen.
Pick me.
What you're saying, but remember when Jacksonville was great, was really good, they had an amazing line.
They also had a really good quarterback, a stud running back, and I believe 2 or 3 really good wide receivers, not to mention a really fantastic defense. It's a team game.
And we're going to go back to college football. Doc, you have anything else?
Thanks. Appreciate it, buddy.
Oh. Well, I think they should just move the Jaguars.
Get out of here. we have a check-in on Twitter that was actually relevant to the pre-Jags talk, which is great. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it. But Tyler Fenwick @Ty_Fenwick on Twitter says his favorite moment from 2013 was when UCLA ran their first play against New Mexico State with 10 players because of their wide receiver Nick Pasquale who died. That was great. I didn't think about that. So that's definitely got to be at the top of the list when you put in emotion and everything like that. We can actually do some draft talk next.
That would be nice.
Scheduled draft talk.
I am heated now. Let's go.
As am I.
Maybe we'll make Wally wait. And we're gonna make you guys pick the national championship game next year. I need 2 teams and a winner when we get back.
You don't have to pick
on the whole
right?
10 yards. Tencent XL 92.5 FM.
It's the whole 10 yards brought to you by Sears of Jacksonville on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The whole 10 yards, Stinson XL, 92.5 FM. Clayton Tinkle, your host, back. We're going to switch it up. Matt Ziegler.
Why aren't the Jaguars what they used to be?
Because they don't pick players that you don't recognize.
Oh, got
the name. It's all in the name.
It is all about the name.
Joshua Jackson.
Red Lightning for president.
2016?
Yes.
Brett Hundley, vice president?
I like it.
Okay, there we go. Boom, got my vote. Richard Miller.
I'm here.
Still.
Miller on sports. Still. Let's do it.
There you go. And Wally Oligan.
All about the Jacks Brigadiers.
You want to explain this?
No.
Okay. Oh, Lord. We'll save that for the end of the show if we have time. What's that?
I just got confused.
So. Okay.
We'll explain later. Explain later.
All right.
Draft talk. Actually scheduled.
Draft talk.
Actually scheduled draft talk. No thanks to Doc. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it.
You talked
a lot about Johnny Manziel, Richard, last segment. What are our takes on Johnny? Because I'm not the biggest supporter. Do you think he'll be good in the NFL? Are you okay with drafting good? Do you draft for the excitement? What do you think?
I would not draft him. I'm sure somebody like the Cleveland Browns will. I saw they're really interested at number 3. They like him a lot. Maybe somebody trades up for him. But he's out of this quarterback class, I'd say he's maybe 3rd, 4th for somebody that I go for. But I would not get him in the first. I think it was Phil Savage, the Senior Bowl former GM for the Browns. He said his draft evaluation was like a 4th round for Manziel.
4th round?
Yeah.
I doubt he falls that far at all.
No, I don't think he falls that far.
Wow. But
overall player,
talent-wise,
draft evaluation, 4th.
No, I agree with that. I just don't think he falls even close to that.
The thirst is great.
The thirst is real.
I just look at him. It's like Brett Favre. I had this conversation with my buddy Jordan Martin yesterday, and we were talking about Johnny Manziel. We're just like, everything in your body and your soul tells you no, but your eyes tell you yes.
My mind's
telling me no, but my body telling me yes.
R. Kelly, yes.
Oh, Lord.
I referenced that yesterday, too, when we were talking about it. But it's like he reminds me so much of Brett Favre, where he's just going to do what he's going to do, and you just have to wait and see what the results are. And that's intriguing to me, but also terrifies me in the same manner as well. So...
I like Johnny Manziel for what he did at Texas A&M. Those 2 years were electric. He wins the Heisman Trophy the first year, has a great year the second year. And I'm with you, Wale. It's everything in my body tells me don't take this kid. And I hate the ilk that – this kind of reminds me of what happened with Tebow a couple of years ago. I don't want to draft somebody simply because of what he can do as far as generating butts and seats. I don't want to sit there and look at somebody that's likely going to be holding a clipboard. I want to see somebody that's going to help turn the fortunes of this football team, get it back to being – I'm speaking to the Jaguars – get it back to being respectable, get it back to being a consistent playoff winner. I just can't see Johnny Manziel, you know, immediately coming in and being as much of a gunslinger as he may be. I can't see him coming in and immediately turning around the fortunes of this football team because of the fact that, you know, he's not that prototypical quarterback. I would like to see somebody like a Blake Bortles or a Teddy Bridgewater, somebody who, you know, can stand in the pocket, make some throws, is a bigger guy. They've got Manziel listed as 6'1". There's no way in the world he's a 6'1".
That's very, very advantageous.
5'10", 5'11", at best. But short quarterbacks have proven recently that they can get it done. But
Russell Wilson,
big win yesterday. But still, everything in me tells me don't take him at number 3. He's going to be more than likely a top 10 pick. But something in me just tells me don't take him right there. There's still going to be more value there with some other guys.
And the people that I see pushing for Manziel to be taken, most of them were Tebow supporters that I see. And they're and I hate it because their logic is he's exciting. Cool. I mean, does that win you games, bro?
But honestly, for me, it's been a lot of the opposite because a lot of the big Tebow supporters hate Manziel because of all of the kind of the off-field antics and stuff. And even though technically they're similar players, it's like one's more polarizing than the other. But I look at his skill set, and it translates, but it's still one of those things where you don't feel 100% comfortable with being like, all right, well, this is the guy I know I can lead my franchise.
And you
with.
Don't take a quarterback at number 3 unless you're 100%.
He's like he's going to be like a Michael Vick in terms of like, yes, there's no doubting his speed and his talent and his, you know, he's got that X factor, but he doesn't go out of bounds. He's not a guy who slides, and his body's not going to be able to take it. And I don't think he can. I think he can learn to do it, but I just don't see him executing it on a regular basis. You know, making the safe plays. I just in the NFL, you can't survive on that.
But looking at from his 2012 campaign to 2013, 2012 when he took off to run, he took off to run. It was just flat out. 2013, you saw a little difference though. When he would scramble out of the pocket, his eyes are still looking downfield to throw the ball, and that's huge.
It is.
That's huge. Yeah. That's especially to see that from just one offseason.
I just because him and Russell Wilson are short, I just don't like that all the short quarterbacks get compared, because even Russell Wilson and Drew Brees, you know, Drew Brees has got a big arm, and Russell Wilson can throw the ball deep, but not like Brees can.
Yeah,
know?
But keep in mind when Russell Wilson was coming out of the when he was coming out last year, it wasn't because of his scrambling ability; it was because he could throw.
Yeah,
throws.
Because he can throw. Yeah, but that's why I'm saying with Manziel, I feel like a lot of people say, "Well, Brees and Wilson can succeed as short quarterbacks in the NFL," but it has nothing to do with that.
Right.
It's just that I don't think Manziel's, you know, mature enough. Maybe not at this point, mature enough to realize, hey, I'm the face of a franchise. I got to take care of myself. I think he just will kind of assume he's the risk taker. It got him here. He's got to continue doing it.
Right.
I like to go the route with the. Oh, there it is. Soon as I want to start talking, there it is. Oh, man. Sing it, Wale. You got it? Yes. Beautiful.
Not lip sync.
Rakeem, you're the man.
No, just boom it. Okay. There we go. We just soak it in. The last 15 years, though, with the Heisman Trophy, what, four players maybe that you'd say can contribute? I mean, ever since Ricky Williams in 1998, we'll go Carson Palmer, we'll say RG3 throw in there, Reggie Bush.
You can argue
maybe.
Ingram, possibly.
Maybe, if you want to. But there aren't many guys that win Heisman Trophies that you say, except, well, could throw in Winston here in the next couple years. But for the most part, you're talking maybe 20-25% of these guys pan out, not just as elite franchise guys, but just players that contribute on a 53-man roster.
Eric Crouch won a Heisman Trophy. So.
Yes.
Oh, man. Great conversation. This is can we
Jason
talk about
White.
This real quick?
Jason White, yeah.
Eric Crouch, was he before his time? If he was to be, let's say if Eric Crouch was playing college football now and was to come out this year, where do you think he would have gotten drafted?
Good point. He may have gotten, you know, with what he did back in the day with being able to throw and run the football, and he was definitely kind of that hybrid quarterback. I think it was before his time. I think he may very well be a first, second round pick right now. So.
Good call, Wally.
Yeah.
Good call.
I think he has the lowest winning percentage of any Heisman Trophy winner. It's like he had like 28% of the vote.
He did go to Nebraska.
Yeah.
So.
He husked corn?
I'm not sure. I've never been to Nebraska.
College World Series.
And that's it. On to the next state.
I had said earlier in the season that Eric Crouch and Johnny Manziel kind of remind me of each other, but Eric Crouch didn't have an arm. The thing, Eric Crouch was all speed. So I think with the way the systems are today, he'd be drafted higher. First off, they'd let him play quarterback instead of the Packers making him a receiver. So they'd probably let him play quarterback, and I could see like a third or fourth round pick. But the Heisman is one season of excellence, you know, and so we can't use that to judge someone's NFL potential in the sense of Derrick Rose won an MVP award. You know, granted, injuries kind of derailed him.
Don't you talk about Derrick Rose.
I'm just saying he's not going to the Hall of Fame because he won that one MVP. He was the youngest ever to do it. But Johnny Manziel had one of the greatest Heisman campaigns ever. But that doesn't mean that when you go to the NFL, automatically you're given, you know, a trip to the conference title
game. I hate the cop-out rule the cop-out story with the Heisman. That he won a Heisman, he's going to be good. It's a college award.
It is a college award. And for one season, it's not the collective 4 years, if you chose to stay, of excellence that you've had. It's 1 year, and anyone can have one good season.
Right.
I just enjoy the question of, why is this guy good in college but not the pros? And then I think to myself, why don't we say that about high school players, where it's like, gosh, he's so good in high school. Why can't he make it in college? But, I mean, that happens all the time.
It does, yeah. It has to do with talent on the opposite side of the ball, I think. I mean, Derrick Henry here at Yulee, not to knock North Florida high school football, he was playing the likes of Pontevedra and stuff like that. And earlier in the season, he wasn't getting many carries, maybe because he wasn't showing the speed burst that he used to or something like that, because you're playing against other players in the nation who were the best in their state or something like that. It's a step up each level. And it's hard to adjust to.
So we can agree that Teddy Bridgewater, and then it's everybody else for the quarterbacks. It's Teddy, everybody else. Maybe Mariota comes out. He's like second or close first.
I think Mariota made a state.
Mariota's sane, yeah.
Yeah, well, you stayed.
That
yeah,
made,
but I mean,
I
if
think
he
that
came out,
made a huge
yeah, yeah.
mistake by staying, though.
Think so?
If he had come out, he would have been a top three,
but
top five draft pick.
He wrecked his knee, so I mean, I would have stayed for another year. So,
I would stay just for the Oregon facilities and the jerseys. Yes, right. That's all for the swag.
Yes.
Not wrong about that.
And the cheerleaders don't look too bad either.
No.
They definitely improved. No. So Phil Knight's done some wonders there in Eugene, Oregon. Something's going on.
Welp.
Uh-oh. Are you insinuating something, sir?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Are we taking a road trip?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I'd love to go to Oregon. That'd
Eugene,
be fun.
Here we come. Watch some Trailblazers while we're out there, because that'd be fun. how do you guys feel about Blake Bortles? Because the more and more tape I watch on Blake, the more, I guess the word comfortable is a word that I use, which I hate using that word for a quarterback, just being comfortable with him. It almost feels like I'm settling. But he looks solid. And there's a lot of talk that he's the Blaine Gabbert of this draft, a high riser because of the media. Blake is actually good. I don't think it's a Blaine Gabbert type thing. He can actually play, and you see that in his tape. What do you guys think about him?
He's got the look, and me and Wale were talking about this one day. He's got the look. He's got the arm. His accuracy concerns me, and I don't want to use the excuse of the competition that he played, because the American was a pretty decent football conference. You know, they went in. They did beat Louisville. He had the great moment, I want to say, with the pass that he completed against, I want to say it was Temple,
I believe.
To the tight end.
That
was an awesome play. He's, like I said, he's got the look. He's got the arm. You know, Oviedo's not too far from Jacksonville, so it'd be sort of a, quote, regional sort of draw. I just, and as you said, as looking at tape on him, I get to get a little bit more comfortable. His accuracy at the beginning of the Fiesta Bowl did concern me, because he was missing some wide-open guys and really throwing some guys behind, missing some passes there. But as the game went on, he got consistent, and he began to make plays, and he began to show that he is definitely a top-five, top-ten pick. I would not be mad if the Jaguars took him. If Bridgewater's not there or Clowney's not there, I think he's probably your next best option right there to take him there at three. So from everything I see of Blake Bortles, I like him.
That's what we've said on several occasions. I think most of the city wants Teddy, but if he's not there,
the more I'm hearing, most of them want, they're like, if they had to choose between Teddy or Bortles, they want Bortles because of the hometown. I did hometown in quotes, by the way.
Yeah, I take the hometown equation out of it, and I think deep down inside, as players, they like Teddy a little bit more.
Oh, most definitely.
But again, if Blake was there and Jacksonville took, I wouldn't be upset at all.
Oviedo Jacksonville, as they call it, the Jacksonville of the South, even more Southern.
Even more Southern.
Gosh. I think we get stuck in these confines of this prototypical quarterback, the 6'4", 6'5", 235. If you look at NFL franchise quarterbacks, there are maybe 6 to 8 of that fit that exact mold.
Right.
Blaine Gabbert being one of them. And
how'd
with
that
thirst
you,
and that fear, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand. It's like half full, half empty, one of those things. But we get stuck in those confines. And that's the toughest part about the quarterback competition and who's going to be your next guy, because you take in all these things. You know, you could have a left tackle. Gosh, he looks big and he moves well. The feet, all that. But with the quarterback, there's just so much coming into play. And that's the toughest part. And that's why the Jaguars are struggling. But you find that guy and you win.
Yeah, you're right.
It's that simple.
Really,
it is. You look at, I forget who brought it up, a Pro Football Focus. You look at the Colts, you look at Seattle, you look at San Francisco. They've all done well in free agency. They all have their quarterback. In the next 1 to 2 years, they're going to have to pay Andrew Luck, Kaepernick, and Russell Wilson. And they're going to be $18 to $21 million quarterbacks per year. So your free agency goes down, your spending goes down, you start to struggle. So that's going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars. You draft a quarterback, you build a little bit more during free agency. We saw the caps at $50, $52 million, and this is going to be the path the Jaguars take in the next 3-4 years.
Right. No, I'm with you. I just hope the draft works out in Jacksonville's favor this year. And for God's sakes, draft a name we know.
It's the deepest class of anybody.
I don't care about names. Yeah, I care about performance.
I don't care about
that's
names.
All that Tyson matters Alualu Jr.?
The third.
The third.
National championship predictions next on the whole 10 yards. 10 XL, 92.5 FM.
Your home for the best Jags coverage.
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
1010 XL, Jacksonville Sports Radio. And 92.5 FM. College football, the whole 10 yards. Brought to you by Sears of Jacksonville on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
The whole 10 yards, 10 to XL, 92.5 FM. And I was really tempted to break out J. Cole's freestyle to this beat.
Yeah, please don't.
I'm not going to.
Let Talib Kweli take this one, brother. Leave that one alone. All right.
Got it. Got it. All right. Playoff time.
Playoffs.
I'm going to try and not jinx four teams like I did to Georgia.
I think 2014 is going to be a good year for you. You're not going to crush teams or
the Clayton curse is over.
I don't know if it's over, but I've got good feelings for you. I'm hoping it's done.
Because the Clayton curse is terrible. I feel bad for everyone that I pick.
Jinx is real.
All right. Josh mentioned that he has his four teams and a winner lined up.
I just had to sit there and think about it and actually look at this last poll. And I think I got it.
Okay. So,
besides Florida State,
if these work,
yes,
record the show, play it back, whatever you need to do,
yes,
so you can come back to our genius.
Rakeith, lay the tape. Here we go. Florida State, Michigan State. It will be South Carolina from the SEC and Oregon from the Pac-12.
Only one SEC school?
Only one SEC school. Okay. I think you got the four of the major conferences, Florida State, Michigan State, South Carolina, and Oregon. I think FSU makes it a two-peat next year.
Okay. That'd be fun. FSU and Michigan State would be fun to watch. A lot of fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Defensive yeah. battle there. That great defense.
It would pay James a lot of Winston money to see that.
Oh, yeah. Big one.
Wally, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, give it to me.
All right. I've got Florida State. I've got Ohio State. I have UCLA and Auburn. Okay. Only one SEC team in there as well.
All right. Who wins?
And who wins? Come back to me on that.
Nope.
I'm working on it right now. I'm working through the process.
Right
playing
now.
The scenario in my head. Playing NCAA 14 in my head right now.
Play faster.
Quick sim.
Quick sim. Yeah, I'll probably take Florida State.
Boring. Matt.
I got Florida State 1, Alabama 2, Oregon 3, LSU 4.
Chalk.
Putting two SEC teams in there. Alabama defeating or FSU defeating LSU, going to the national title game. Alabama defeating Oregon, going to the national title game. Alabama FSU, let's do it this time. FSU takes it.
You outworked all of us.
Yeah, we didn't need a bracket, Matt.
Oh well, I mean, if we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it. If we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it big, right?
You went above and beyond. Yeah. Right?
Was that English?
I don't know. That was like my Bill Cosby.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there. I got you.
Look here, Dede McCarron.
Hey.
She is a prime candidate for Player Hater of the Year, okay?
Richard Miller's 2014-2015 national title prediction is?
Florida State. I mean, you've got to put them in the Final Four right there. I mean, it's just too easy. I say they win it again, back-to-back titles for them. I like Stanford. I think Kevin Hogan comes back from an up-and-down year. I think he's a very good quarterback and one of the better ones in the country. Ohio State, even though I just can't stand Urban Meyer, I think he'll put it together. He's got some decent players up there, and, you know, he'll always recruit good guys. And then I'm just going to go randomly because I like Todd Gurley. I'm going to go Georgia and pick a random team.
He did it.
Yeah. Why not? Aaron Murray.
I picked Georgia this year, and the injury train just happened.
Well, that's the thing. Stay healthy a little bit. Todd Gurley runs the ball.
Right.
And they've got a bunch of guys back. Malcolm Mitchell comes back.
A lot of guys.
You know, Keith Marshall comes back.
They're a good team. It's what Hudson Mason's going to be able to do. That's all that boils down to.
And if Hudson Mason can just manage the football game, you don't necessarily need him to be a world beater like Aaron Murray was. Just manage the football game. You've got talent around him. Anything can happen.
Can someone tell me where Hudson Mason's from?
No the clue. Name?
Yes.
Is that what's got you wondering?
Yes, because that is the most southern name I've ever heard.
Actually, it's from the Hudson River Valley in New York. No, I kid you. No, I'm joking.
I bought it. I went with
I'm
it.
Joking.
I actually did buy it.
You know, something I was thinking about, too, with the SEC teams, I mean, are we pretty much sold that there are going to be two SEC teams in this Final Four? Because the last 3 years, there have been seven SEC teams in the top 25. I mean, that's outstanding.
He is from Marietta, Georgia.
Georgia. That's my hometown. Marietta. All right.
Right outside
of
Atlanta.
Sounds about right.
Not the Hudson River Valley.
He's a junior.
But with the other conferences doing what they're doing right now, and I think, you know, with Florida State kind of breaking the streak, I think giving more credence to a Pac-12 or to a Big 12 or a Big 10 and some of the great things that they've done, I would be fine with just picking four conference champions and letting them play it out.
That's how I want it to be done. A blog of mine actually wrote a cool little piece, a 16-team playoff piece. I'm just going to shamelessly plug it because why not? The eastsideperspective.com on the main page. You can check it out. It's pretty fun. Not necessarily to be taken seriously or anything. Just 16 teams, what it would look like with the standings this year. Question, though. This 14 playoff next year, is it just going to be the top four BCS and their 1-4, 2-3? Is that how it's working, essentially?
Oh, no, I was waving goodbye to CC.
Oh, okay. I thought you were waving at me.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
I'm like, I'm still here.
Well, no,
I'm sticking around.
Is it time for Richard to leave yet?
He's got to go. He's got to get out of here.
No, I'm sorry. No, go. You go.
His silky smooth voice is just ruining all of us.
Thanks for answering the question, guys. Good talk.
Silky smooth. Thank you.
So wait, what was the question?
I was just waving to CC. I was waving to her. Yes, I apologize.
I got confused.
Oh, Lord. The college football playoff this year, is it one? Is it just the BCS standings 1-4-2-3? Is that how it works, or is there any sort of?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's what I thought it was too.
It's that cut and dry. Mm-hmm. In that case, because the BCS and the rankings still have flaws as far as ranking conferences above other conferences that aren't necessarily true. I say two SEC teams, Florida being one of them.
In the
final
playoff
four.
Next year, okay.
What? I throw something at you? I can't even. I'm sick. What?
Florida, Alabama.
What?
Florida, Alabama.
Did you actually see what they did this year? And not necessarily, they do lose some of those big pieces on defense. I understand it's your pick.
Right.
They lose some of those big pieces on defense.
Right.
They have a new offense now. They had to go to Duke to get an offensive coordinator.
What's wrong with Kurt Roper?
They had to go to Duke to get an offensive coordinator.
I made fun of him as much as you did. I'm just trying to defend myself.
You mean the word Central's not in front of Florida, right?
No, Florida.
Is this a 2008 wrap-up show?
what
is this?
Exactly.
I'm confused.
No, I just...
Exactly.
USC is your next team.
No.
Is that your second? That's your second?
Riley
USC
Cooper
in Florida for the
door,
national
man.
Championship.
No, I just think not that the SEC East is going to be down next year, but Aaron Murray's gone. Clowney's gone. And Florida almost beat South Carolina this year. I think the defense is going to keep him in some games. Kelvin Taylor got a little bit better. Maybe Kurt Roper will give him something. You got to think 2 years ago, before this terrible Georgia Southern year, as we will forever refer to it as, they were right outside the championship game.
Triple
they needed
option, baby.
who did they need? They needed like one team to lose, and they were in, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the title game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not crazy. I know coming off a 4-8 season,
Auburn.
It's far-fetched. Exactly. I just think they'll turn everything around. The ball will bounce their way a few times. I'm not saying they'll be undefeated.
I hope you're right, but I think Florida just continues the dumpster fire that is their football program.
I hope not, because, I mean, college football is better when Florida's good, obviously.
So, Wale, is it because Gators now?
It might be. It might be. Because Muschamp.
So, Alabama, Florida... I'm going to be a homer and pick UCLA because I love Brett Hundley and Florida State.
Asian girls everywhere.
Florida State wins it.
And Florida State wins. So all of us have Florida State winning the national title next year? Did you?
Yeah, I picked them too.
Picked them too?
Well, that's kind of dull.
Yeah.
So boring.
Got a Twitter check-in from C-Squared 1709. He says, false. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is the most Southern name he's ever heard.
Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is...
That's a law firm.
That's a law firm, yeah.
Legitimate law firm. But
I'm trying to think of the best name in college football this year. Wave Rider, it has to be, right?
Wave Rider.
It has to be.
I like Stryker for the Oklahoma linebacker.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't even know what his first name is, but with the last name, Stryker with the Y.
Well, Wave Rider, and he goes to the Navy Academy.
Ooh.
I think we're overlooking the most obvious. Ha ha, Clinton Dix. I mean, that's just the easy one.
That's true.
He's actually good, though, so we've been hearing his name
that
a lot.
That one's funny.
I think
Wave Rider is the most fitting, though.
I like Miles Jack for the linebacker, though. That's good. That's a good one, too.
Miles Jack's good. And running back.
The boy's name is Hashan, so I don't understand why they had to call him shortened. We're going to call him Ha-Ha.
Just call
him, his mama called him Hashan. I'm going to call him Hashan.
It's for the same reason people can't say my name correctly. It looks scary on paper.
Wale?
Exactly. Whale. Y'all can't say it right.
We'll
it's
talk
also
about
the
whale story off the air.
For Josh, it's a copy editors. You know, you can't say Sean. You just ha ha is easy, and you know, four letters, you knock it out. So why not?
Hey, I like it. It's easy. Just never, ever, ever shorten my name to Clay, or you might show up in a body bag.
I'm gonna call you C.
Hate it. C's fine. Just don't call me Clay.
Have you always hated it?
I don't know why. I just don't like it.
A certain American Idol.
I mean, that might have something to do with it. That might have something to do with it.
Ruben Studdard's year.
Well done.
Fair.
Well done.
Good job, Matt.
Thank you for that reference.
Let's jump into some coaching carousel news, because we all like to laugh at Lane Kiffin from time to time. Lane Kiffin, head coordinator, wow. Offensive coordinator at Alabama now after Doug Nussmeier leaves for Michigan, which is fantastic in my opinion. Is Lane Kiffin a good hire for Nick Saban? Yes, no.
feel like it's almost he's trying to prove a point now.
Right.
Like, look, I'm going to take this guy under my wing.
And I can win with anybody.
And I'm going to win with him, right. And then I'm going to get him the best job he's ever had. And this is a guy who used to coach the Raiders and the Volunteers at one point.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know. It just kind of seems like something Bill Belichick would do. How Bill Belichick brought Josh McDaniels back into the fold after right. he failed as a head coach for the Broncos. Just, I don't know, going
he's
back
to... He's not a bad OC.
No, he's going to. He's just going back to coaching school. Remember when the Patriots signed Tebow and said he was going to quarterback school? Well, I think that's what's happening in this situation. And... Now
well, about that.
That didn't work out
that
too
didn't
well.
Work out too well for me.
Well, no, I'm not
team,
saying
though.
This one's going to work out either. I'm just
And he was released again.
The Alabama-Tennessee game next year just got that much more interesting
right?
with Lane Kiffin now at the offensive coordinator at Alabama. My question is, and we talked about it before we went on, how can those two personalities mesh in that office?
Well,
you got two type A personalities, and it's not the A that you know that people think of. It's a stronger A. What I'm thinking about,
capital
right
letter
now.
A,
the capital little A. the word ends with an E. You know,
Ace?
I don't see how those guys can. It may be great on paper, but knowing how strong and how dominant those personalities are, how they can mesh in that same locker room. It's going to be interesting to see.
Kiffin's going to get a reality check. He's going to walk into the locker room and Saban's going to go, here's a playbook, run it.
It continues to speak volumes about college football and what it is. It's connections and it's recruiting. Those are the two major things.
Yep.
Lane Kiffin, I'm not sure how he's going to do at Alabama because Nick Saban controls so much with that program. But Lane Kiffin, we will know him because we're all fairly young. Late 20s, early 30s, some still in college, but we're going to know Lane Kiffin in 40 to 50 years of taking the most premier jobs throughout the country. Oakland Raiders, Tennessee Volunteers, Alabama Crimson Tide. He's still so young. This guy might have maybe 8 to 12 more coaching opportunities.
Very true.
And big opportunities.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only person that I know that has either gotten fired or has left jobs to get better jobs. Like, seriously, starts off at Oakland, you know, then leaves for Tennessee and then bolts Tennessee for USC, gets fired from USC, and then now is the OC at Alabama. I mean, like, I can't even script that in a movie.
As a Bucks fan, I just hope he gets his dad a job because Monty's definitely getting fired. I mean, that's just happening. And then at that point, I mean, I'm still a Monty Kiffin fan. I'd like if Lovie Smith brought him in, but if he got to go back with his son and work for Saban, that'd be good for him too.
Do you think Monty Kiffin's hair was the foundation of American Hustle in the hair for Christian Bale? Do you think that was the platform that
Bravo.
Was used? I think it was.
Bravo.
I mean, I'm really interested in knowing.
With that reference.
The Tampa 2.
The Tampa 2. That opening scene is one of the best opening scenes in any movie I've seen in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Putting that, okay, I'll just leave it.
A lot of movie references here.
Okay.
I'm liking
right.
it. I'm processing.
But Lane Kiffin, you think it works at Alabama? I don't think it does.
I think it does
because Saban, again, is going to hand him a playbook and say, here, run these plays.
So it works because of Saban, and
right.
do we give Kiffin credit? Because,
no.
oh, Saban.
No.
Probably not, but
no.
they'll take
right.
it.
Oh, well. I guess we'll see, right?
You've thrown your hands up a lot today.
we say that, and then I picked him to go to the Final Four next year. Matt did as well, right? So, I mean, there's talent there. It's will Kiffin destroy it? Is the way it is.
Mind you, they still have got to find another quarterback.
Right.
I don't think the quarterback that's starting next year, I don't necessarily think he's on the roster right now. I don't think they had that much, you know, depth at quarterback behind him. So it's going to be interesting to see next year.
So it's not Luke Del Rio.
He's
out of there.
Far from Luke Del
okay,
Rio.
I thought he was the guy. I thought he was an ex-McCarran.
Sorry, Luke.
<Negative.
laughs> Yeah, sorry, Luke.
The Holton Yards crew is going to wrap up our season next here on the Holton Yards Stinson XL 92.5 FM with some of our greatest moments.
College football, the whole 10 yards. Brought to you by Sears of Jacksonville on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
The whole 10 yards, Stinson XL, 92.5 FM. Your host, Clayton Tinkle, with Wally Olligan.
Jax Bridget Deers, man. I'm all about it.
Matt Ziegler.
Yeah, what is that?
Just search the hashtag AFL mock on Twitter. We don't have time to explain.
Okay.
Joshua Jackson.
UNFJU next Friday should be a fun one at UNF Arena.
We'll all be there, yes?
I'll be there.
Yeah, except
can't.
For Wally. Richard Miller is
Miller
with us
on
as
sports
well.
In the his house.
And Ray, you're on the air. You got 10 seconds, buddy. There we go. You got 10 seconds.
Okay, I was just going to say that if you're going to think the Gators, you realize Muschamp's still a coach.
What was that? I didn't hear you. Sorry.
Muschamp's still the coach.
Right.
I think he was picking on you.
Oh, all right, that's cool. I'm used to it. Thanks for your call, buddy. Thanks for listening. I mean,
we can't end 2013 on that, man.
No, we're not. We're not. We got a minute left. Best moment from the show this year, Matt.
Every Sunday has been my best moment because I have so much fun with you guys.
That's sentimental. Wally.
I'm emotional.
Clayton going missing.
That was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, wait. I take it back. 2 weeks ago when I got here and no one else was here and I had opened the show by myself, that was my favorite moment.
Richard Miller, this is your first show with us. Do you have a favorite moment from today?
The last 90 minutes.
That's what I like to hear.
Yes.
Joshua Jackson?
The last couple of weeks have been awesome.
I'll give you that. Florida State fan, speaking blonde.
Yes. Truth.
The whole 10 yards has been here with you since August 18th to January 12th. We'll see you next season, hopefully, with more college football recap.
We'll miss you. Hey, send a letter to the ESPN affiliate and say you'll stop listening unless we bring him back on the air. Okay.
Send a letter to 1010XL saying you'll stop listening if their show's not back.
ESPN.
Holla.
Steve Griffin, give a brother a chance.
The whole 10 yards, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Your host, Clayton Tickle, Matt Ziegler, Wally Oligan, Richard Miller, and Joshua Jackson.
Now you can hear 1010XL in stereo at 92.5 FM. WJXL AM, Jacksonville Beach. WJXL FM, Jacksonville Beach.